My name is Ashraf Mir, and this is...
I'm Old Maid.
And I'm Nathan, and I was raised a Methodist, went to a Unitarian church as soon as I could. I joined the Mormon church for 12 years.
Wow.
Done it all.
Wow.
Oh, I've danced with Sufis.
Ah. The mosque that we go to, or that we went to in New York, we just moved to this area last year, was a Sufi mosque. And my family has a lot of Sufis in it.
Okay. So did you read the answer or the questions people were going to ask?
Yes.
All right. Jean Valjean, Les Miserables.
Oh, no, I don't remember that question.
You don't? Okay. So my question is, do Muslims do they tell each other stories to illustrate complex ideas about Islam, or tell each other stories to aspirational behavior? You know, this is how we ought to be.
Very much.
You do?
Very much. Yeah. I mean, I don't know a religious tradition that doesn't.
Well, I've asked about 6 or 7 people. They don't know of any.
Oh, really?
They do know really old ones,
right?
You know, 8th century, 9th century.
Yeah, they are very old.
Oh, okay.
They do tend to be very old stories. Are you thinking more recent stories?
Yeah, yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, I do know that Muslims are very big on sharing stories that they feel reveal something divine, right? Something amazing, like a miraculous occurrence or something that's like such a freakish coincidence that it has to be God's involvement. Like, I know a lot of very pious Muslims are into that. Whereas I think with Muslims who are of my stripe, which we tend to call ourselves progressive Muslims, because we sort of have this view of Islam that it's got to be more universal than it is, otherwise it can't really be what it says it is. You know, if it's the creator, it's got to be everyone's creator, right? If it's believers, it's got to be everyone who believes. I can't believe that there's some like little tiny group that is more important than any other little group on this planet. So for people like me, we tend to invest a lot into the stories that are in the Quran, because the Quran is like deeply metaphorical. It like God uses metaphor quite strongly in the Quran. So because of that, we tend to look at those stories for metaphorical meaning. For example, there's a famous story called the Story of the Cave. And it's a sort of Rumpelstiltskin story where these three men leave society and they go and they into a cave. And in the story, as it's told in the Quran, God put them to sleep for a very long time, that when they came out of the cave, they didn't recognize society and stuff like that, and it had changed so much. And the meanings that this story has had have changed so much over the years in terms of how it's been told in Islamic thought, that I think that if that's what you mean, like that sort of sense of trying to figure out what these stories that were given to us, you know, with our scripture, like what those stories can actually mean. And it's funny because you say this thing about stories. The reason I moved to this area is I was having this problem in Brooklyn. I was living in Brooklyn, and it was quite a struggle because my family, my parents live in D.C., my sister lives in New York, and my family and my wife don't get along very well. And I kept thinking, like, how can I take this relationship to another level? And I was reading this great book by this Seattle writer called Leslie Hazelton called The First Muslim, and it's basically a biography of the Prophet Muhammad. And I was sitting on the campus of UW over in University area, and I got to this path, and it was about how the Prophet had to leave Mecca, you know, because at one point he leaves Mecca, and this is called the Hijra, and it's the first year that the Islamic calendar starts on, because something new began, not when he founded the religion, but when he actually left home and founded this new community in somewhere else. And that was when I decided I kind of want to move to Seattle, and I want to like leave like the cradle of where I've spent my childhood and go somewhere else and make a new place for myself. And I kind of feel like what's happening right now in the Muslim world, like really requires us to do stuff like that consciously, to consciously be in places where we can contribute something.
Start
new. Start new and contribute something. And like, I like how Muslims are treated in this part of the country better than we're treated on the East Coast.
Okay, so if you think of a story, I'm going to give you my phone number. Call me.
Oh, sure.
Real quick, I'll try to tell you a story.
Okay.
A lot of places, Shiites and Sunnis are not getting along.
Right.
Okay, so an Iraqi Sunni is in a bunker during the war.
Right.
And artillery hits the bunker.
Right.
Everybody's dead except him.
Right.
So then the Iranian Shiites overrun, and he feels he's going to die. So he crawls under some bodies, and an Iranian is going through his pockets, finds his Quran, finds pictures, and realizes he's alive.
Right.
So this Iranian infantryman takes this Sunni under his arm or under his wing and protects him until he's put in a POW camp.
Right.
Then the Iranian's captured, and he's put in a POW camp,
right.
And they never see each other again until they're old men, and they're both sitting by accident, or by God, who knows, by accident, they're sitting on a park bench in Vancouver, BC, and one of them starts telling the story about how an Iranian saved his life.
Right. And it's the guy. That's awesome. Good to meet you, Nathan. Here, give him this. This is my card. Yeah, send me an email.
Okay.